That's super. Let's turn to our scripture reading for today, which is from the first letter of John. Going to read from chapter 4 and verse 7. Let us listen to the holy word of God in his presence. He is here with his spirit, by his spirit, to interpret these words to our spirits and minds and hearts. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Many of the pastors from the different evangelical churches in Bremen met for lunch on Friday to share and review what has been going on in Bremen amongst many of the Christians this last 2 weeks, called the Turning, an outreach. We met at Martini Church, where most of the meetings have been, and Pastor Latzel, the pastor of Martini, was there and gave us a wonderful encouragement from the scripture. And in chatting to him afterwards, greeting him, I love to talk with him. He said with a great big smile, he's a great big man, he looks a bit like Martin Luther when he stands in the pulpit. And he said, "Isn't it wonderful what God has been doing in Bremen these last 2 weeks? What wonderful thing. We have harvest in Germany today, and we have this lovely display before us, helping us to give thanks to God for the physical harvest that he brings through the earth for our food and our nourishment. But the Turning has also been focused on the spiritual harvest of God harvesting souls through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Marge And I, along with many other, I think 12 of us from IBC Bremen were involved, around about that number, maybe more, different times, different days. And one day I was with Marge, and we chatted and prayed with 8 people this particular day. And we were able to say to them, did you know that God loves you? And we were able to pray with them. And we were able to ask God to bless them. And in particular, to ask God to reveal his love to them by showing them that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the crucified Savior. We prayed this for these 8 people. Those 8 people are among the 2,000 people for whom a prayer like that was said personally by Christians from different churches going out in pairs on the streets of Bremen the last 2 weeks. For one of those people that we prayed for, we were also able to go on in the conversation and to share more of this good news with this person. And this person said they would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They would want to put their faith in him. And so Marge and I were able to lead that person in a prayer so that they could receive and acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior and receive him as their Lord within. And that person is one of 700 people. We know this because after we'd done this, we wrote down the details of the people, and we also went back to the meeting house, everybody, and somebody went around and asked us, how many people did you pray with? 8. How many people said that prayer? 1. And so on with everybody. And so that's how we have these figures. This is why I feel the Lord led us to this reading today from 1 John 4, because I think it helps us to understand and relate to from the scripture, for the scripture to define, to help us to define what is God doing here? How do we understand this from what the scripture says? Because we always want to be rooted and grounded in nothing other than the holy word of God. This is what guides us and directs us more than anything, as the Holy Spirit inspires us and explains it to us. I believe that this scripture helps us to understand that this 2 weeks, God's love has been manifested more in Bremen. And God has been moving in his pure divine love. We've seen it, as I've said, by people who do not yet know God personally, hearing the news, the good news from the scriptures, that he loves them, even though they are sinners. And for many of these people, he has been bringing them closer. Some of them have never heard about God at all before. Others have heard something and now have heard more. Others, a bit like this harvest in front of us, have come to the point, apparently, of being harvested in. Another thing that we have seen this week is that Christian believers, people like you and me, people here in this house, have been deeply encouraged by God's love. We've had worship nights both weeks, every night before the mission, and those have been times of worship and prayer, and there have been times where God the Father has really encouraged us in his love. And one of the main ways in which we've experienced that is to see growing relationships between the brothers and sisters of different churches, around 17 churches in Bremen, who belong to the Evangelical Alliance. It's been a deep joy to get to know the different pastors better and for the brothers and sisters to go out on the streets with another brother or sister that they don't know before but is in Christ because they are part of the body of Christ. One of the greatest joys for me was the final night, Friday night, when we celebrated the Lord's Supper together. And I was deeply touched by the Holy Spirit as I was reminded as we celebrated the Lord's Supper of God's love for me and his Son, and sharing that together with brothers and sisters. This is why we do it together, because we're family when we have Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. These are ways in which we've seen God's love manifesting itself, God manifesting himself in love in our city. And I want us to look at this passage to help us to understand this, This will be part one of two sermons. Part two will be next week. Please can we have the slide, though, Balu, thank you. And you can see just the overall framework of where we're going, so you can follow me. First of all, I want to say, and like I say, we won't cover all of this today, half this week, half next week. God manifests his love. He's manifesting his love in Bremen. How do we know? What is going on? The Bible says God manifests his love in that he has sent his son to us. Of course, the word love here is not meaning emotion. It's not something that we like. It's about a self-sacrificial act. And it's especially the love of God. This word in Greek, agape. It's not sexual love, eros. It's not family love, storge. It's not friendship love, philia. It's agape. It's the love of God in Christ, self-sacrificial for us. But I wonder if you've ever found that somebody has loved you in a way that you didn't expect. Maybe you were very sick. I've had this experience when I had a ski accident in 2008, and I was not able to work for 6 weeks because of the concussion that I experienced. It really was actually quite a miracle that I did not break my neck in this particular accident. I thank God for that. And the way that two families in my church at the time took me into their homes, the doctors said you should not live alone for those, especially the first 48, 64 hours, because of the danger of hemorrhaging. And so these families took me in. They came in the night every 2 hours with a torch, even though I was sleeping, to check my eyes, because they could look and tell, had to wake me up and check my eye pupils, because the doctor said if the eye pupil, dilates or whatever, enlarges, that is a sign that there could be a change in blood pressure, which could be a sign of internal brain hemorrhaging, and then I would have to be taken to hospital. Fortunately, that didn't happen. But you know what really I was so blessed with? I didn't know these families loved me so much. They took the opportunity to show me. This verse says, this is how God showed us that he loved us. People who are lost in this world do not yet know how much God loves them. And the word made manifest, made shown in the Greek, means God showing something that we did not know before. God making something is there. His love for the world is there, but the people don't know it. We didn't know it. Maybe you still don't know it until it is shown to you, until it is revealed to you. Some people said, when we said to them on the street, do you know that God loves you? Really? How could he love me? Well, the Bible tells you he loves you. God's word tells you that he loves you. Jesus in particular on the cross. This cross, the message, it's a symbol of the original cross, but it's there so we don't forget. How did God show us? How did he show us that which we didn't know in our spirits, in our emotions, in our minds before? When we were cold to the awareness of his love, how did he show us that he loved us? He came by his Holy Spirit and he showed us that he came to die in our place. John writes, God sent his son. And that was something that happened. It's already done. It only needed to happen once. He only sent him once, and that's enough. Jesus Christ is here. He was crucified. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He's now ruling in heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit. He's here. John says he came among us. He was directed to where the people are. He came to do both, be with the people where they live, in the world, in Bremen, and he came to live within them internally, coming to be with us, in us, living in us. So how does God manifest his love? He sent his son. And we find in this passage that he says that phrase three times. And so these three verses are where he says that. Actually, this is a very, very full and rich passage. We don't have time these 2 weeks to look at every single little detail in here, but this is what we want to focus on. How is it that God manifests his love to lost people, to you and to me? And what is it about? He sent his son. What's the purpose of it? Verse 9, so that we may live through him. John is describing why did God do this? What was his motive? God's motive for sending his son? You need him. I need him. Without Jesus Christ, I am lost in my sin. Without Jesus Christ, my sin means I have to go to hell. My sin needs to be punished. I have desperate need, and so do you. Why did God send his son? So that I would not die, but I might live. He died, he came to give us life. And the only way that anyone can live forever and live in fullness of life, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, John 10:10. But I have come to give life and to give life in abundance, full life now and everlasting forever. We said to the people on the street, Do you know that God has a great plan, an amazing plan for your life? Because Jesus designed everyone for a destiny. Not a lost, pitiful, wasting time without God and then going to hell at the end of it. But a life of honoring and walking with God on the adventure of enjoying his love and serving him for the rest of our days. But the problem is, we explain to the people on the street, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, and Marge was there with her German text, making sure that the people got it. This is what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. But because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for us, the free gift of God is eternal life. And the people are going, whoa, what's this? What is this? It is God manifesting his love to the lost people in Bremen. John's use of the Greek in this means that he's focusing particularly when it says he was sent so that we might live through him. It means the life that is forever would start. It's how the life started. God showed his love among us by sending his son to us so that the new, full, eternal life of God might be ignited in you and in me and in all those that he is drawing to himself. We see in verse 10 that he manifests his love in sending his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Uwe gave you permission to give this story that how I mean, Uwe was out there, Nicola, probably more than anybody, I think, this week, many times anyway. And one day, Uwe was there with Enoch. Is Enoch here today? Don't see him. I don't think he's here. But they talked to one young man on the bridge, I think, over the river. And they told him, did you know that God loves you? And he said, how can God love me? I'm a terrible sinner. I've done terribly, terribly many things wrong. Good question, young man. Our sin is a filthy rag that makes God steam with righteous anger. I think I've mentioned before that when I was a small boy and my dad worked long hours up in London and we lived outside London, he came home late on the train. We used to sometimes drive my mother crazy with our behavior, me and my brother. And if we pushed her a little bit too hard with our naughty behavior, she had this line that she could always use, and it was always effective. She would say, now that's it. You wait till your father gets home. Oh no, we have to be punished. Sometimes we would go to bed early, even though she didn't tell us to, because we wouldn't be around downstairs to meet him and his wrath, because he was saying, your father will deal appropriately with what you have done. And you know what? He always did. I know my dad loves me so perfectly. And part of the way I knew that as a small boy was I knew the boundaries. I knew where I stood. And he did sometimes have to punish us because wrong must be punished. Now, that's a small and very puny example. Our Heavenly Father must always deal with our sin, but it's not just as a discipline. It's because our sin just doesn't fit with Him. He is holy. We can't be with Him because of our sin. It's a complete cutting off from His love and a separation from Him. This is why the wages of sin is not just a smack on the bottom. It is death. It is the opposite of this full and eternal life, intimacy with the Father that we are born for. And so the answer to the young man's question to Uwe and Enoch was, how can I know that God loves me when I'm a sinner? It's the cross. God has revealed His love for us in that though we are sinners, Christ died for us. And what difference does His death make? John says that God manifests His love. Verse 10, He sent His Son to us to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. It means the power to appease the righteous anger of God. Our sin makes God righteously angry with us. And there's only one power to appease Him. And it is the death of Himself in His Son. His Son sent to manifest His love. That's why the cross is so important and is so much this revelation of love. Because He alone there has dealt with our sin. If there is to be any hope for us, for that young man, for all the other lost people in Bremen, it must be that God's anger with our sin must be appeased. And so God has provided the Lamb. He's provided the sacrifice. He loved us by sending His Son to be the appeasement necessitated by our sin. Jesus is the satisfaction of God's righteous wrath for our sins. He is our substitute. This is why there is power for the believer in Christ in the blood of Jesus. The devil's power to say, oh, look at you, accuse you of your sin and all that you've done wrong. Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins. Our sin debt has been settled if we're a Christian, if we have received this love, this saving love of God that is being manifested through the gospel, has been for 2,000 years, will continue to be until He comes again, as the gospel is being preached to lost people. This is what's going on. The love of God being manifest in the gospel, that we may start this new and eternal life, that we, because our sins have been dealt with, as God's anger is appeased through Christ. And so we could read as well in 1 John 2, just two chapters ahead. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Again, those in all the nations, including our city, that God is drawing to Himself. And so in verse 14, it also says, 1 John 4, verse 14, He manifests His love in that He has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. So the message of the apostles, like John, the first eyewitnesses of Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension, is now our message. It's the message we have been taking on the streets these 2 weeks, and we must continue to take more and more and more. And those, some of you are taking it to your neighbors now, like in a way you never did before. And people who've been Christians in this city for 30, 40 years have started taking this message out in a way they never did before. Hallelujah. Why? Because this is how people come to know the love they need to know more than anything. That Jesus Christ is their Savior, because He came to be the Savior of, not just for us, the world. We have been given the message. We have to get it out there. Jesus came. He's here to continue to save people throughout the world today. This title, Savior of the World, actually I think is unique to John. He's the only one in the scripture who uses it. I think that's correct. World meaning the people on the planet that He is delivering from their sin and their doom, lost without Him. Paul says something similar in 1 Timothy 2, 4. God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So God manifests his love in that he sent his son. This has been happening this week, and it's continuing to happen, and it will continue to happen. And how do people actually engage with this? How do they receive the love? How did you receive this love? People are coming to know and experience this love that God has for them as well. We'll look at this some more next week, but just to say that it's not just an intellectual experience, this academic study of what does love mean in God and how has he done it dying on the cross. John is talking about this is how love is manifest, this is how love is perfect, that God comes to abide in a believer and the believer abides in God. In other words, God comes and restores the relationship, Holy Father with the sinner, Father and Son, Father and daughter, close relationship. How did you come into that friendship? Or maybe you haven't yet. Have you entered into that intimate friendship? You are a sinner. You deserve judgment. But God has shown you his love so that you can have intimate relationship. You can know how much he loves you. And you can enter into the true destiny of life in eternity and all the tasks and assignments he has for you on the adventure of your earthly life. How can you enter into that, which is fundamentally a close relationship, a friendship, as a son, as a daughter? How are people in Bremen being enabled by God to do this? Well, verse 15 says, whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God will abide in that person. God will come and put his life. He will ignite, he will start, he will initiate that new life in that person. As I shared with you, one of my stories, only a few people that I spoke to were ready to take that step, were ready to say a prayer of confession and receiving Christ as their Lord. The others were not ready yet. They were moving closer, but they were all excited and pleased and smiling and pleased to meet us, but they weren't ready for that step. But the ones who were, the sense was they were ripe fruit for the picking harvest. It seems the Lord had already been working through witness of family members or other friends or whatever way that he had chosen. But we quoted Romans 10:13, because the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ, full life now, eternal life forever. Paul writes in Romans 10, whomsoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then those people said, yeah, I would like to do that. And so we led them in a prayer and we were able to say, well, if you sincerely meant this prayer, you have been forgiven. You've become a son or a daughter of God. On what ground could we say such a thing? Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God will abide in him and he in them. The word confess in the Greek, it means a particular moment, really, a particular event, not just an ongoing thing, but a particular moment in our life where we say yes. And it has two explanations or two other meanings. Of what it refers to that particular event, but what does it actually mean? What does it mean to confess? It means to admit something is true. So John is talking about the person who receives this love that gives them life, the new life, is somebody who comes to a moment in their life where they admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for their sins, that they need him as their savior. But confessing is admitting that something is true, but you don't just say it to yourself. You do it in front of others. When this happened to me, I was 17 years old. I've told you this story before. I grew up in a Christian home. I'd heard the gospel for 17 years, but I had not yet come to this moment. And I was in a meeting in St. Albans, just north of London, and the preacher preached the gospel and invited people to go forwards. And the Lord, I had a sense of the Lord saying to me, "Paul, you've never really acknowledged me as your Lord. You know who I am, but it's like for me, for you in your case, I'm standing at the door and knocking, and you're the life, the door of your life, the house of your life. You've not let me in because you've opened the door, but you've put one of those security chains like we have in England. I probably have them here too. One of those security devices. It's a chain. You can open the door this far. You can look out. Jesus is outside, but you haven't let him come in." This is how I sensed, as a 17-year-old boy, God was talking to me. And another voice said, "No, no, no, you don't need to go forwards now. You just wait till you go home. You know this stuff. You've heard it. You've read it. You've heard it from your grandparents. You've heard it from your parents. When you get home, you can pray by your bedside all on your own and everything will be fine." And the first voice said, "No, you should do it now. Because to confess in this particular way is very powerful. You can do it on your own, but it's more powerful, if you like. It's more effective because it's tends to be something public. It's something that you testify. It's something that you say to the nations, to the peoples, and to the principalities and powers. Jesus Christ is my Lord." And then the enemies and the demons have to flee away. Because you're stating a point of spiritual fact and authority. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe it was, I now didn't understand these things then, but looking back, I believe there was a spiritual war going on and the enemy was trying to stop me making my public confession, but the Holy Spirit came and I was filled with a kind of power beyond my own, and somebody, it felt like somebody grabbed hold of my lapels and lifted me up. I was way at the back there and there was many more people than here, and I had to tread on their feet, and I was shy and I'd stumbled through, but managed to get up to the front, and somebody led me in a prayer of repentance and faith. And then the next thing that we see is that people come to know and experience this love God has for us because he's given us of his Spirit, verse 13. This is how we know God. This is how we know that he loves us, because he's given us of his Spirit. That happened to me on a Sunday night. On the Monday morning, I got on the 321 bus, as I'd been doing for 6 years, and sat next to Stuart Smith, who was my best friend at the time. We'd known each other since we were 8 years old in the junior school, and he lived near me, and we had a 10-mile ride to school on the bus. And because we were at the beginning of the bus ride, we always got the same seat at the middle, on the left-hand side, at the top of the stairs, double-decker bus. So I went and sat next to Stuart. And within 5 minutes, he turned to me, "What's happened to you?" And the whole of the journey and the 20-minute walk from the end of the bus ride to the school in St. Albans was me telling him what had happened. Telling him, and I was filled with joy and I was filled with the love of God. I didn't understand the theology. I didn't understand all these things. I didn't really understand theologically at that time who Jesus was and how it worked. I've come to understand some of that now, and I'm still growing in my understanding of the scripture. But looking back, the message of the cross was proclaimed to me clearly in the power of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit took a hold of me and gave me his new life, and he put his Spirit in me to give me the evidence of that. And one more thing to say before I finish today is, and we'll look at this again maybe, or we'll go on to the third bit next week, but in the second chapter of John, he also talks about this. In chapter 2, verse 5, "Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in God. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. When I was reading this today, I was thinking about, you know, within days of that experience in St. Albans, and of my friends saying, what's happened to you? And of the sense of the Holy Spirit, I used to find at lunchtime, because I was still a schoolboy, at lunchtime, instead of going out to the sweet shop, we used to go and buy cakes and sweets at the nearby shop, I wanted to go and find a quiet classroom where I could pray, where I could read the Bible. I remember this incredible joy. I remember finding this particular classroom that was up a quiet stair just above the headmaster's study where I could just be alone with God. And I was thinking, why was I doing that as I look back? Because the Holy Spirit was in me. Because he was giving me a desire to follow him now. He was working in me. And John is saying, one way that we know that we've experienced and come to know the love of God in Christ through the gospel is that once we know him, we long for him. We desire for his love. And we long to follow him. And we find that his word gives us the food of life. And we rejoice in him. And we move on in him. So God's love is being manifest in Bremen. It has been for these hundreds of years. And it will continue to be the case. And we've been encouraged these last 2 weeks to get on and get out there with it. It's manifest in that he's already sent his son, and now his son is here for the saving gospel to have its effect, so that people may come alive in eternal life, because he has dealt with their sin. He is the savior of all. He is drawing to himself. And people are coming to know him as they confess, as they come to that point in his process with them, confessing. We pray for the 2,000 people who have come closer that still need to come to that point. He's given us, once we're there, his spirit as evidence, guarantee. And he's given us a desire and an ability and a freedom to get to know him through his word and to obey the word and to love the word. Next week we will look at how John describes this process in terms of God's love manifest in bringing us to him and others to him through the gospel being perfected, he says. In other words, his goal in loving the world being realized in this new life, in getting rid of all the fears we have in our lives. That's a big, important topic. And in particular, its goal is realized when you and I love one another. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this amazing passage of Scripture. Bless us as we continue to meditate on it and to understand its truth, you in it, Lord. Help us to see how this explains what you've been doing this week and how we can join in, how we can grow in being a gospel proclaiming people. We thank you that we have the word in the scripture, and we ask that you would teach us to grow in explaining it more faithfully and more fully. And we thank you that it's only you anyway who can lead anyone to yourself. And we ask for you to do that. And use us as you want to in the process. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Just before we sing a song of response, I would just like to invite any of you who took part in the turning who would love to share a short story. I know you have many stories, some of you, to tell. Is there anyone who would like to tell us a short story of how they were encouraged by this truth we've been talking about today? Nicola, do you want to share something?
Yep.
Or whichever you like. This is fine, isn't it? We can see you better.
Yeah, I just really, I'll make it short. It's been an amazing 2 weeks, actually. For those of you who don't know, we've been out on the streets for 2 weeks, running morning, afternoon. Those of us could make it whenever. to bring the gospel to the streets of Bremen. And I started really with shaking knees, thinking, I'm not equipped for this. There are people I know in like Karin, Marge, this is their gift. I don't know how to do this, Lord. I've never been able to do this well. But I just want to say that as the 2 weeks went on, and as the ministry even happened in the evenings, I started to just feel my heart ministered to by the love of God. And it was this love and joy that compelled me to get out, and it was a joy to share the gospel. And I've never experienced that. We did a lot of street work when I was a teenager growing up. I always found it a struggle. Somehow God changed me in these last 2 weeks. And when we couldn't get out on the streets, I don't think Paul's right that we were out more than others. I think others were out more than Ove and I. But there were some afternoons we couldn't make it. And my heart was so burning within me that when I took the dogs for a walk, I was like, Lord, give me someone. And every time he did. And in these last 2 weeks, we've managed to minister to about 6 or 7 people in our neighbourhood, telling them that God loves them. And with some of them, we've been able to go a little further. But we're at this point with some of our neighbours, and I feel the Lord is opening up doors to minister to them. It's like he's given us a key into people's lives in our neighbourhood in a way that we've been praying for them for years. And I've never known how, Lord, how can I tell them about you? And somehow something's changed. And it's been such a joy. And just maybe one very quick testimony, a man in our neighbourhood that we shared with him. At the beginning, he said, I'm an atheist. I don't know. But thank you, but I'm an atheist. But we've been meeting him over and over, and a really good relationship now to him has opened up. And I would not be surprised if he comes along one Sunday, because he really... this is where God's sense of humour, I think, comes into it. He told me the only church he likes is the Baptist church. So I thought, whoa, you're talking to the right person here. So anyway, I just want to say God has been mightily at work, not only on the streets, but also in his church, building us up in the confidence to go out and share this message, because it is the power of God for salvation. And we should stand in that and spread it. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Would anyone else just quickly? Marge, okay. Marge could tell us stories the whole week because she has so many of them. So just tell us something quick.
Yeah,
just quick.
Yeah. I have a lot of tons of stories. If you want to talk to me, I'll talk to you later. Anyway, for the past 2 weeks, we've spoken to a lot of people, but six. Really got ready to receive the Lord as personal Lord and Savior, as far as when I was with different partners from different churches. I have just one particular person that I've spoken, and we're together with an Egyptian guy who couldn't also speak German. Both of us were struggling with the script in German, but then again, we were able, like, Lord, we can do it through your power. And the moment we said, God loves you, and God has a great plan for your life, and he started to cry, and then he said, you know, he's from Iran, and then he said, I tried to go to Evangelische Kirche, but he got disappointed because he was somehow discriminated. So, and then my partner is Egyptian, also a little bit of Arabic, so spoke to him as well that's why God sent us to you here, for you to be reminded that you're not forsaken, you're being loved. And then we explained to him about Jesus who died for sin, and a clean slate. And how can we not share the love of Jesus? Just really every day is a clean slate before God. So he's open before God. And with struggling German, I showed him that he's, because he said, I speak more German than English. So I said, this is the prayer, but name it seriously. Take it seriously, because God sees the sincerity of your heart if you truly repent and accept Jesus in your heart. So he read it, we read it together. And I thought, like, Lord, maybe I need to explain again in English. So I got my English, and then he said, oh, ich habe schon verstanden. Jesus is jetzt in mein Herz. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I said, okay, now you are now my brother. And without malice and without any, the holiness of God, he's from Iran, and we really have a big hug to him, and he hugged us as well. And we sensed really the love of God. It's just one story of all. I'm just telling you that for the past 2 weeks, the loving for one another with brothers and sisters, and to share this treasure of love, we just encourage you to do that with us. Amen. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. So let's stand and worship the awesome Father God who has sent his Son to be our Redeemer and Savior and is here by his Spirit to bring the whole harvest in through the strong and powerful and true proclamation of the scriptural gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's join in worship and join in the mission. In Jesus' name.